Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic and wishing I had more dogs, but only for a little while, and then they go back to their owners.
I think that is the ideal situation where you just, like, rent puppies for a bit and then don't have to keep taking care of them and feeding them. Yeah. We are brought to you. Our support is on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus content, including bonus monthly bonus episodes. We're on the brink of 2 bonus episodes a month. 2. We're only doing 1 right now. 2. If you help, then...
That's true. You can make us work even harder.
Weekly articles by me, bad drawings for each episode by both of us. We're looking at King of the Hill episodes over the summer while The Simpsons are on break. And we have a couple people to thank, Matt.
We do.
Brendan Killian. Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you, Brendan.
And Steven Victor. Thank you very much, Steven.
Steven, you rock.
If you want to help us out in another way, you can go on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe, all those good things. If you don't know what to say, just say this. A nostalgia podcast that's enjoyable for all kinds of Simpsons fans, even those who support the future Lisa Milhouse wedding.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm willing to... You have to compromise on certain things, Matt.
It's important. I guess.
It's important. This week's episode is 2 Dozen and 1 Greyhounds, episode 2F18, written by Mike Scully, directed by Bob Anderson, finished 55th in the ratings for the week with a Nielsen rating of 7.3. Chalkboard gag, the good humor man can be only be pushed so far.
That is definitely true. They will hunt you down and turn you into a chocolate bar.
Yeah, those who don't know, I wanted to see if there was some specific thing about this was referencing other side than he's an ice cream man. I'm not sure if it was, there was a movie called The Good Humor Man as well, about a ice cream man that gets involved in a murder mystery. I don't know, but the good humor ice creams still exist. And they were the first ice cream carts and trucks. They existed in the back of the Depression in the 20s. The couch gag is the family chases after the couch and the back wall as it slides down an endless hallway. I believe we've already seen it this season. We are in the last third of the season. They start repeating couch gags.
They're like, yeah, it's good enough. They won't remember this one. It was from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, basically. It's not bad. So the episode guest stars Frank Welker as Santa's little helper and all the dogs, basically. All animal noises.
Because Frank Welker is a voice god.
He almost exclusively, I think, works doing just animal noises, and he makes a good living at it. He was the voice of Nibbler, among many, 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 many other things.
Many, 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 many.
Many, many, many. He has numerous voice acting credits. Episode begins with the family blaming Bart for destroying things.
All right, who broke my vase?
Who took all my test papers off the refrigerator and tore them up?
Who spread garbage all over Flanders' yard before I got a chance to?
Oh, please. This is senseless destruction with none of my usual social commentary.
If it wasn't you, then who was it?
Well, I'm sure these things didn't destroy themselves now, did they?
Did they? I guess Bart's not to blame. He's lucky, too, because it's spanking season, and I got a hankering for some spankering.
Hankering for some spankering.
Spankering is a very important activity between parents and children.
Of course. They don't know. They don't understand. Santa's little helper is just full of energy. You just cannot get it out. Bart and Lisa try and play with him, try and play it out so that you eventually run out of energy. They run out of energy long before he does. Matt has included a note. In our notes, I swear to God, if you didn't pull this, in reference to
I have to make Robbie get the good stuff.
Yeah, okay. Just listen to all the other podcasts. It's always me who isn't pulling the things. I got part of this segment. I did not get all of it. Sezla Hopper ends up digging up the yard. He gets some bongo. Why? I don't. Matt. Your tastes are sometimes, I can't decipher. Like, I cannot predict.
The part was the end with Chief Wiggum.
I got that.
That's all I really cared about.
Okay, good. They pull up bongo, he digs up bongo drums, strobe lights, and the best of Ray Stevens. An album that Homer, I guess Marge buried all those things?
That's kind of what's implied.
Why wouldn't she just take them to, like, Goodwill? I think that
that's
would...
That's what I asked.
That's like the... Burying things in your backyard is not a way to get rid of them. It is to save that's them for later. But he ends up also ripping up the cable TV, which... he rips up the cable TV for everyone in the entire neighborhood, I guess?
That's kind of what... Because he runs away with it, and it, like, tears away from everyone's house, which, generally, you do a hub and spoke for cable TV. It's not, like, a loop through, but, you know, artistic license.
Yes, hub and spoke. All those... Matt, the engineer, knows these uh-huh. things. But we do get a moment with the Wiggums after their television is taken from them.
Your cable TV is experiencing difficulties. Please do not panic. Resist the temptation to read or talk to loved ones. Do not attempt sexual relations, as years of TV radiation have left your genitals withered and useless.
Well, I'll be damned.
I don't think the radiation from a television is dangerous enough to do that.
Not anymore. I'm sure it used to be back when we had the big chunky CRTs.
I don't think you believe that, Matt.
Was it the sarcastic way I said that? Is that what made you believe?
No, you're just too smart. They go to the pet store. Maybe the pet store will be able to tell them what's wrong with Santa's Little Helper. And luckily for them, the clerk in the store has a very special ability. He can mind meld with dogs.
No, our dog is out of control. He's wild, destructive, and has little or no respect for authority.
Let me try a canine-human mind meld. It's an incredibly rare psychic power possessed only by me and three other clerks at this store. Okay.
Muff! Muff! Muff!
I'm bored. I'm restless. Need change in life. Like imported leather leash, blue contact lenses, 200-volt shock training collar.
Is that a lot of volts, Matt?
Yes, but not like a crazy amount that would kill you. It's just kind of like a quick zap. I mean, it would still be painful, but it wouldn't be like debilitatingly painful.
I don't know.
Again, it's used on a dog, so it's probably a little more painful. I would not use that product, no.
I was just curious. I'm like, I don't really know how. I know they have shock training collars, but I know it's very, very mild.
Yeah, I don't think it's that high. And besides, most people will not recommend them anymore. Apparently, you're supposed to use the little sound collars that will make a noise or have a little CO2 canister that goes poof instead of actual electricity.
Okay. You do have more. You have much more experience with training a dog than I do. They leave the store with many things, including a fish tank.
I'm not. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Is it the dog's fish? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's for Santa's Little Helper. Dogs. They want to give him a little bit more responsibility. I think maybe having him take care of a fish will maybe tame him a little bit. But he escapes from the car by turning into a liquid and going out the window. A la T-1000.
Totally T-1000 them.
Yeah, Terminator 2. He runs, he's back, they follow him back to the racetrack where he was found, which is a neat thing I like in this episode because it ties into the history of The Simpsons a little bit, the very first episode. And we, you know, it's kind of it's nice when we see them acknowledge their own history. But they get to the track, they can't find him. It's a big place. Marge is very surprised by its size. Homer quickly placed a $2 bet on she's the fastest. And look at the name.
Obviously, you can't name something that it isn't. So, I mean, you can't say she's the fastest and have her not be the fastest. I mean, that would go against dog naming regulations that Congress spent forever working on.
I know. They put a lot of thought into those regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they sit down to watch the race. When Santa's Little Helper makes an appearance.
And they're in the home stretch. Another dog is on the track.
It's Santa's Little Helper.
The mystery dog is gaining fast on the outside. Of course, he could never win this race. Or could he?
What's Santa's Little Helper doing to that dog?
Looks like he's trying to jump over, but he can't quite make it. Come on, boy, you can do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end. This is the end of dog racing.
I think they're in love.
So that's what's been wrong with the little fella. He misses casual sex.
Can we keep Santa's girlfriend, Mom? Please?
But she's not our dog.
She's yours now. Once they fall in love, they lose their racing spirit.
Won't you miss her loyalty and companionship?
Lady, you're all right.
The rich Texan apparently owns Greyhounds as well.
I'm sure he owns pretty much everything.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a thing he'd be investing in. So now they have two dogs. Sam's little helper, and she's the fastest. Although, she's never named again in the episode. She's only called Santa's...
Like they don't rename her, yeah.
Yeah, she's only Santa's girlfriend. They never call her a name. They're calling her she's the fastest as well, because they leave Santa's little helper's... They never address her as anything else. But that's a weird name for a dog around the house.
Yeah, it should go, hey, fastest. Or hey, she, I guess. But
She's the STF. You call her STF.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wrestling game. The dogs are in love, as I guess. It's very romantic, although. It's really funny because Matt Groening repeatedly says, oh, yeah, we like to err on the side of, like, we treat animals like they're animals. You know, they're not cartoon characters. You know, it's not Tom and Jerry. It's if there's a dog on the show, it acts like a dog, but dogs don't fall in love. You know, they'll have a relationship, but they were not going to be going to the butcher shop together or having a date at Luigi's. We get a montage of them spending time together. They go everywhere they go. There are stakes. That's a good thing. They go to the park with the... Is there a name for that character? The proper lady character?
You know, I don't think they have an official name for her. There might be an unofficial one that I'm unaware of.
Yeah. The very prim and proper, like aristocratic lady has a steak in her purse for the... They laugh at the poor wrinkly dog.
They're very, very mean dogs.
That's mean.
They're racist.
He can't help that. That poor wrinkly dog can't help it. We get a Lady and the Tramp reference at Luigi's because the spaghetti that fell on the floor. And they're angry. They fight. They don't love each other. They fight over
spaghetti.
Like
real dogs.
Like real dogs, yes. Real dogs. They do not share the food very easily. Bart... I hesitated about this one, Matt, because we are a PG podcast. But Bart does use it in the proper way. You know, it's in the dictionary. The word bitch to describe a pregnant female dog. That is what she is. Marge is upset about this. that word is that you could say that word and have it not be a curse word. I always thought. I guess I feel like Bart. When I was his age, I also. Try to like
look up swear words in the dictionary.
There's loopholes. Like, hey, this word is not a curse word right now. I can say it.
You're like, I'm gonna go hang around donkeys just so I can say ass a bunch.
Yeah, or when you're reading the Bible, it says you can use the word damned because sometimes people got damned.
Indeed, by God.
By God. But they are surprised when the dog when. Santa's girlfriend, as Bart describes her, starts shooting out baby puppies.
Whoa!
Yes, many, 25 puppies to be precise. Over and over and over and over and over and over, and they hide them all around. I can't really pull this clip because it's nothing but music and them putting dogs in things. There isn't much talking, but it's a very like fun them like putting these little puppies all around their kitchen. And there is a gag about them counting and then a clock and they get to 25, which hence the 2001.
They
get to 25. And then, I mean, 25 is correct. It's 2001 Greyhounds. They're accurate to the 101 Dalmatians. They're more accurate than 101 Dalmatians is, but. Oh, wait, we haven't mentioned this, and we always get people yelling at us when we don't mention the complete obvious reference that this episode is to. 101 Dalmatians, yes, Disney, it is that, obviously. But then
very
we go
obviously.
To, yes, and we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see all the little dogs. We see Snowball 2 swearing off the nip. She rubs her eyes and then kicks a little bag of catnip off the table.
Another thing that is very much like this episode is clearly like, hey, we're going to let them animals be a little.
It's a little bit more, you know.
A little more like cartoony than normal.
Cognizant, yeah. Bart, of course, sees these giant army of dogs as something he can use to accumulate power in the neighborhood, and the bullies don't hold it over him. So he immediately goes and antagonizes Jimbo, to which Jimbo comes and attempts to beat him up, and when Bart calls upon his army of dogs, they do what puppies do and fall over and go back to sleep, because
they're cute.
That's what puppies do.
They're cute.
So Bart Bart gets beat up because he should have been with that.
That's
and,
not, come on.
Jimbo goes about his day.
Okay, well, he did call him a jerk face. I guess that is
he did.
Asking for
he was
it.
Very rude, so yeah. He deserved it. We also get a listing of the names of the dogs using their bowls. There is Rover, Fido, Rex, Spot, Rover 2, Fido 2, Rex 2, Cleo, Dave, Jay, Paul, Branford, Dave 2, Jay 2, Paul 2, Branford 2, Sleepy, Dopey, Grumpy, Donner, Blitzen, Grumpy 2, King, Queenie, Prince, and the puppy formerly known as Prince. So they're your 24 names, which is pretty good. They only have, what, 7, 8 that are repeated?
Yeah, only a couple. I mean, When the one time that we had a litter of puppies in our house as children, we were not very creative either. So I think it's perfectly
there was
accurate.
A lot of Fidos and Rexes.
Well, there was a dog that had like a big brown spot on its side, so we called it Bruiser. But then he had
that's fairly creative.
Then he had a sister. What do you think we named his sister?
Bruza.
Bruiserella.
Oh, okay.
There
that's
you
the
go.
Other option.
That's me and my sister. That's how creative we were as children.
We'll have to tease your sister about that next time we see her. Good to know.
Yes.
But we see the Simpsons getting along with life with the puppies. We see them attempting to watch TV and, well.
Look at Branford, too. Isn't that cute? He thinks he's one of the models, Inc.
Get that cat out of the way.
Poor Snowball, too. Well, it's cute when a dog does it.
I think it's perfect. I mean, one time is cute.
I think it's cuter when a cat does it.
I think it's, well, puppies. It's a puppy, to be fair.
That's true.
Puppies trump grown animals.
I don't know. Maybe. It's pretty close.
Did you ever watch Models, Inc.?
No, I have to say, in the hierarchy of 90210, Melrose Place, and Models, Inc., I believe Models, Inc. was at the bottom.
It is a spinoff from Beverly Hills 90210.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Well, at least now I know that, and don't look ignorant.
It was canceled in 95. It was canceled shortly after this episode aired.
Nice.
So,
The Simpsons curse. If they mention a Fox TV show, it'll get canceled.
Actually, what? Never mind. Continue, Matt. I'm screwing things up.
All right. We then see the puppies eating everything, because that's what puppies do. They basically destroy Bart's socks as soon as he puts them on. And when he attempts to open up the drawer to get more, all of the puppies are already in there destroying his socks. However, we find out that they do not, for some reason, eat Lisa's socks, just Bart's. I guess Bart's smell worse or something.
Well, they're a different material.
That's true. Women's socks are much less comfortable. We also see them go after Homer's chips. We see a great little bit where Homer is attempting to eat chips. For some reason, he takes them out of the bag, holds them in the air for a second, and then attempts to eat them. And of course, as you can imagine, in a household with that many small, quick dogs, he never gets one into his mouth, because there's always a puppy flying through the air to get his chips. And it is adorable, because they are very plump little puppies. And they just eat. Poor Homer has to say dough like 20 times because that's how many they get out of him. We also see Marge. She is putting the flea collars on the adults on the people rather than the dogs, because it's easier that way, which I don't think she understands how fleas work, because the whole point is to not have the dogs get fleas, because fleas can transmit diseases and that's bad for the dogs. So, okay.
I think she just wants to keep the fleas out off the people. I don't know.
I guess that could be it. But,
I don't think
know.
it would
that's wrong,
I don't think
Marge.
It would work even. Because I think it only works because the flea collars, humans, they want it. There's a lot of things that are like factually inaccurate with her doing
Indeed.
That. But it's Marge trying to be economical.
And she fails. So we also see a great bit where Marge says the house stinks and asks Homer if he's putting down the new newspapers over the old ones. To which Homer replies, is there any other way?
No, there's no other way.
No. You live in a house that stinks from then on. We then see Homer and Marge start a discussion with the kids about giving away the puppies.
Now, I know we love the puppies very much, but I think they're getting to be a problem.
Yeah, they ate all my socks. I have to wear Lisa to school today.
How do you explain the culottes, boy?
Well, I have to coordinate, don't I?
Your mother and I have been thinking about giving the puppies away.
No!
Mainly your mother.
Is that what we do in this family? When someone becomes an inconvenience, we just get rid of them?
Hello? Is anybody there?
Aww.
Poor grandpa.
Poor grandpa. It's true.
Because that is, in fact, exactly what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
We then move on to, basically, Marge agrees that if the puppies don't do anything else bad, they can stay. So, on a completely unrelated note, she's having a very fancy dinner party, to which she has invited some very important people.
Two of which we've never seen before.
And I think we do see all of them again at some point or another. We have Reverend Lovejoy, Homer's former drill sergeant from the Army, which last I heard, Homer was too fat to be in the Army and too dumb to be in the police. But I guess this is a little bit of a retcon of that. And we also see an IRS agent who apparently was giving them an audit but has no need anymore because the dinner was so delicious. The drill sergeant agrees to, you know, forget that Homer was let out of the army a month early. And Reverend Lovejoy is just going to be a gossip and tell everyone how great the dinner was until the turkey explodes and there are puppies inside fighting, which if she actually cooked it with the puppies inside, they'd be dead.
They just climbed in, and I'm trying to put myself in their place. If I was at someone's dinner party and I had a delicious dinner and then suddenly the turkey on the table started moving around and puppies emerged from it,
I'd be like, oh, they got in there at some point. Oh, well.
I'd be like, I think I'd just be surprised. I don't think I'd be disgusted. I think I'd be like, whoa, that's crazy. That's a crazy thing to happen. But I wouldn't go gross. Like,
how did those puppies fit in there?
I know. What's happening?
Yeah. Of course, this incenses everyone at the dinner. So the former Homer's former drill sergeant tells him he'll see him at Reveille. The next morning, the IRS agent says they'll see them for the audit, and Reverend Lovejoy tells him he'll see them in hell from heaven, because apparently somebody dog-infested turkey gets you sent to hell.
Well, yeah.
So, I guess. The next day, we see a giant box on the lawn with all the puppies in it that apparently they can't get out of for some reason. And everyone, it's a whole bunch of people stop by to say hi and look at the puppies. Principal Skinner wants one. Grandpa wants one. Somebody else wants one. I can't remember who. Anyway, but the puppies don't like being broken up. And
isn't Skinner?
Marge. I said Skinner. I said Grandpa. I can't remember who the third person was.
It was. I don't remember.
Yeah. But the puppies don't like being broken up. And Marge realistically tells the kids who in the world is going to take 25 dogs. And, well, we then see who.
They don't like being broken up.
We've got to be realistic, kids. Who's going to have a big enough heart to take care of 25 puppies?
And I know the little fellas would love romping around my many acres, chasing my many cars, drinking from my many toilets.
Who wouldn't?
Mom, don't give the puppies to him. He'll be mean to them.
She's right, Homer. There's something about his face I don't trust.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burns, but you can't have these dogs. Am I fired?
Oh, of course not. They're your pets. You can do as you wish. Good day, everyone.
My, he certainly took that well.
A little too well, if you ask me. I'm sure he's plotting some brilliant scheme to get those puppies.
There you go. There you go. You too.
Honestly, sir, you just don't put the effort into your schemes that you used to.
Sorry, every time I'm just wow.
I mean, it works.
Who haven't seen the episode, it does. They just wait until the Simpsons facts are turned and steal it from them.
I mean, he made it. It worked. Like that's the ultimate test of a good scheme.
That's true. It's just not elegant. But anyway, Mr. Burns steals the puppies, and we go to a commercial.
When we come back, Wiggum is investigating the robbery poorly, like he generally does. What is he thinks that he's there? He's investigating before they correct him.
We'll find who stole your. I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
He says something like, oh, we'll find who stole your something. And like, dogs. And he's attempting to dust for prints with powdered sugar donuts.
Yeah, that's not what they're for?
That's the best thing I found for them, because they're not really worth eating.
Oh, Matt.
What? Powdered sugar donuts are the worst type of donuts.
Oh.
There are so many better donuts out there.
Matt.
Hmm.
Okay. I don't... I don't even know how to even start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, you're wrong, obviously. Two, sure. Anything with lemon, any lemon filled or lemon donut, like, those are the worst. Those automatically go down. No,
those are the best in every possible
Okay, way. I think I finally understand you, Matt. You're from Backworld's world, where everything that is good is bad, and you're like a bizarro.
Lemon is the best flavor. Are you insane? What's your favorite? Chocolate or cookies and cream?
Flavored donuts? Depends on the day. You know, sometimes I feel, you know, that's the beauty of donuts, is because there's so many flavors you can ascribe to them. It's more like a medium that you can just like put in any kind of flavor. You know, sometimes, you know, I feel like a strawberry filled donut, or other days I can maybe want a double chocolate donut, like you just said, or maybe on a fancy day, I get like a really fancy kind of like a crawler or something that has like a fancy thing inside. Or you can get if you want to include apple fritters as a form of donut.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Apple fritter is probably actually my go-to favorite, if you consider that a
donut. Wow. Well, those are all good choices, but lemon is the best.
Wiggum chooses. He says this crime is probably unsolvable, but he suggests that they go ask Mr. Burns for one of the 25 new dogs he just acquired.
Yep, no idea.
How would that possibly happen? But Bart and Lisa, of course, go investigate. They go sneak into Mr. Burns' manor, where they see him loving the dogs. They see him like giving them all a bath. And there's one dog in particular that Mr. Burns particularly likes.
Smithers, look, he's standing up. I've never seen anything so adorable. You know who it reminds me of?
Benji?
No.
Lassie?
No. A person, you know who I mean.
Snoop Doggy Dog? Bob Barker? David Brenner?
No. The person who's always standing and walking.
Rory Calhoun?
That's it. You stay with me. You're the pick of the litter.
Maybe we were wrong about Burns on this one.
Maybe he's actually gonna be a good person this time, right, Matt?
Maybe.
He just washed. But probably. He just washed all the dogs. He gave him a nice bath. He even named like his little Rory Calhoun his favorite dog. No, you're wrong. I'm wrong. He is definitely gonna be bad. And then we get the song that everyone knows and loves. See my best.
Are you sure you want to go through with this, sir? You do have a very full wardrobe as it is.
Yes, but not completely full. For you see, some men hunt for sport, others hunt for food. The only thing I'm hunting for is an outfit that looks good. Vest made from real gorilla chest. Feel this sweater, there's no better than authentic Irish setter. See this hat, 'twas my cat, my evening wear, vampire bat. These white slippers are albino, African endangered rhino, grizzly bear underwear, turtles necks, I've got my share. Beret of poodle on my noodle, it shall rest. Try my red robin suit, it comes one breast or two. See my vest, see my vest, see my vest. Like my loafers, former gophers, it was that, or skin my chauffeurs, but a greyhound for tuxedo would be best. So let's prepare these dogs.
Kill two for matching dogs.
See my vest, see my vest. Oh, please, won't you see my vest? I really like the vest.
I gathered, yeah.
He's gonna make a tuxedo out of our puppy.
puppies.
Na 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 na.
Mart.
Sorry, you gotta admit it's catchy.
That's a great backing orchestra that just popped up there.
It took all my effort not to just sing along as right now.
Right. Especially that song. Something about that song. Like, even the monorail song, I'm like, yeah, it's the monorail song. It's catchy. But this one, you really want to sing along.
Well, it is a, you know, a parody of Be Our Guest from Beauty and the Beast. It is that song. I think it speaks to that song's catchiness, which it is very catchy. And this song is also just as catchy, also hilarious. And it's really clever and fun how, like, this is the only way they could have executed this idea, because Mr. Burns is literally singing about murdering puppies. Like, that is one of the, like, the most dastardly things he could possibly do. Like, that is, I mean, it is a joke in the media a lot of the times whenever, you know, a big public thing about, like, the Michael Vick situation. Like, people cared a lot more about that just because it was dogs who were the victims. And, like, they're puppies. They're little cute puppies. And yet you don't get disengaged from the episode because of how dark and brutal it is, because it's this fun, stupid, catchy song, you know, that is making fun of him murdering many animals and puppies in particular. And it's a very good song.
It is. It's like you said, it takes this horrific thing and just makes it palatable to be in a all ages TV show. Because I have a feeling that a lot of kids, when they first heard, they're like, ha, 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 I don't get it. What's going on? Because they didn't actually listen to the words. Whereas the adults who are listening to the words are like, oh, my Lord, that's terrible.
No, it's so cartoonishly villainous that it works in this song. So Bart and Lisa see Mr. Burns' plan. He's, I guess, going to shoot all the dogs. That seems like a really bad way to kill the dogs.
Yeah, it seems
first
inefficient, and like it would destroy the coats that he actually wants to use, so that seems like a bad
yeah,
idea.
I don't know, but they try and escape. They go down the laundry chute just as Burns enters the room, and they get to the bottom of the laundry chute, assumably in the basement, and Burns is already there waiting for them.
Yeah, he's the villain. He has teleporting powers.
Smartly, they just go, Bart, like, that's impossible. How did you do that? Bart's like, I'll explain later. And
yes, always later and off screen.
And they try and thwart Mr. Burns by taking his beloved Rory Calhoun from him and putting him with the rest of the dogs to try and trick him.
Now you don't know which one's little Monty. I guess if you don't want him to be part of your tuxedo, you'll have to let the other dogs go, too.
Nice try. Come on, little Monty, stand up. Come on, stand up. Do your trick.
No, no, don't. Stay down now, Monty. Stay down. Don't get up. Stay down, boy. Good boy.
Excellent. Now it's simply a matter of bending down and picking up the one and only... This can't be happening. They're all standing. I can't tell them apart. Oh, all right, you win. I'll have to kill them all. But they're so wretchedly adorable. 25 little Rory Calhouns. I can't do it, but I can kill you. No, I can't kill you either. Look at you, standing there, on your hind legs, like a couple of Rory Calhouns.
We'll get to who Rory Calhoun is in a moment.
Yeah.
A little bit. We're going to talk about Rory Calhoun. But,
extensively.
We'll see. But Mr. Burns finds mercy in his heart to not murder people.
Yeah, mainly because they're standing. So yes. If they weren't standing, then well,
good thing.
You know.
Good thing Bart and Lisa were standing, as well as all the other puppies.
That's true. If they were sitting down, or if they were in some way handicapped and couldn't stand up, then they'd probably be dead.
Or reclining at various angles, you know, that's who knows. True. But he doesn't, I guess he keeps the dogs, but they are all champions. 25 champion greyhounds. And they have won him, what, $1 million apiece? Is that what they say?
I think it's just $1 million in aggregate, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a total of $25 million. I'm like, that's a lot of money for Greyhound races. I didn't think they were as... I didn't think Greyhound races pay as much as horse races.
They generally don't, but they run them a lot. So if you're willing to bet on them constantly, which I'm sure Mr. Burns can have somebody do, he could win a significant amount.
But either way, dogs are very profitable. And what happens to the mom, though? What happens if she's the fastest?
No one ever says.
She just vanishes.
She's the chick dog in the bucket.
I see what you did there, Matt. I see what you did there. The episode ends with Marge walking down into the basement, and we have a silhouette of Homer hanging, but he's actually holding himself up in the rafters of the basement, batting at a light bulb, and then
then breaks on his head.
Explodes on his head. Is batting a light bulb, is that a thing people do or did?
I don't really think it is. I think it's just so they could have the silhouette and have Homer. Like, why would Homer be doing something to cause that silhouette? Oh, he's batting the light bulb around. Because he's Homer and stupid.
Everything I search for batting a light bulb all come up Simpsons, so I'm assuming it's not a thing. But yes, and that is how the episode ends, with the light bulb exploding on Homer's head. It's a very odd ending, but the episode, I don't know how else you would end it. It's it's such a weird episode. It mostly is about, like, it jumps from thing to thing very quickly. It is very zany. It is parodying, like, a Disney movie, but then it also... has that, like, a sudden, like, villain in, like, Burns literally plays like a Cruella de Vil in this, so it makes sense.
He's the male version of Cruella de Vil.
It's a good episode, Matt, but I was trying to think about where we would place it. It's hard. I just don't know what to do with it.
I guess we'll have to find out in a little bit.
We will. I like it, though. Like, the song...
I really like it. The song is good. The plot is funny. It parodies a lot of stuff that everyone knows and enjoys. It has heart. Not a lot of it, but it gets to the point where, you know, Bart and Lisa care about the animals. Marge and Homer care about the animals. And it's not a lot of inter-Simpson interaction that we think about when we think of, you know, emotional content, but... people love their dogs. I love my dog. She's stupid, but I love her. It's that kind of thing. So, you know, we'll see. I think it'll go high, but not super high.
We'll see. We're going to have to talk it out. We will rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for this from my favorite episode. If you have a favorite, just submit it to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. What was that, man? Want to whisper something to me? Mm-hmm. Is there a cat problem?
No, there's a Matt's thirsty problem.
Oh, that is a problem. And explain why a certain episode is your favorite, and we'll get to it. And I will read it on air. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group archived on Google Groups. Around the time the episode debuted, a week or two after, see what people thought about the episode and what else was kind of going on at the time, if anything noteworthy, Simpsons related. Fairly negative on this one, Matt.
I find that really hard to believe. Like, I don't know what people expect out of The Simpsons if they consider this a negative episode.
Like, probably like, I'm not like, and there's always people who like, I don't want to paint like everyone thinks it's bad. Because there's definitely people who like it. And, you know, you're not going to be a person posting on a news group unless you have, like, people don't go on the internet to, like, say, hey, it's okay. Yeah, generally, it's very much, like, very polarized thoughts. But, like, after last week's episode, this episode, people are very, very more down on it. They like the song in general, but everything else they think is dumb.
Well, they're dead inside, but we knew that of early internet adopters.
Current internet adopters as well.
People
trying to figure out what Rory Calhoun has to do with anything.
I think he's just an older actor that Mr. Burns would know.
That is precisely, I believe, the right answer, Matt. Rory Calhoun is the screen name, the working name of Francis Timothy McCown. Who spent his child, like, teenage years and early adult years in prison, and then met an agent while horseback riding in the Hollywood Hills. His first public appearance was as Lana Turner's escort to the premiere of Hitchcock's Spellbound. And after that, he worked his way into acting. He was in a lot of westerns. He was the star of the television show The Texan, which is a western television show. But he's in a lot of... Also starred in Sergio Leone's first film, The Colossus of Rhodes. But lots of... So he was also
the westerns.
Also cult films in the... Like Night of the Lepus, Motel Hell, and Hell Comes to Frogtown. Those are all...
They sound wonderful.
I've seen them. Night of the Lepus is like deadly killer bunnies. Motel Hell is actually it's not a bad. That's of like for a B movie, it's actually a pretty good B movie. Hell Comes to Frogtown is pretty terrible. I think he's just an older actor that Mr. Burns would know. He died.
Smithers apparently wouldn't.
He died in 1999. He was 76. He was born in 1922. But yeah, that's about it. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for Listener Question of the Week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The Listener Question of the Week this week is, what is your favorite Simpsons prediction? You know, anything that they said would happen or thought like or made a joke. Hey, this is a funny thing that would never actually happen. And then it inevitably did happen. First one from John at ChopStyle311. Aside from President Trump, gulp, how about the advancement of the Dick Tracy-style talking watch? True. Joey RZ, at Joey RZ. The best one when Gunter and Ernst were attacked by a tiger in Springfield, since they were an actual Siegfried and Roy parody. Sean's answer, real Sean Smith. Bart, legalize it. President Lisa, what? Oh, consider it done. Bart, tasty. I know we have not seen that on a nationwide level. I have a feeling it's kind of... It's a matter of
time.
It's
coming. By the time that episode would have actually happened, I forget what year it's supposed to be in that episode, but yeah, probably.
Probably, yeah. We have Zach's answer. Roy of Springfield and Roy getting mauled by one of their tigers, a la Springfield. Yes, you can train a rabbit to come when called. I train my bunny to come when I snap my fingers and say bunny. See?
Aw, and I want a bunny.
See, you can make bunnies obey commands. Tom's answer, well, perhaps not exactly a prediction. They controlled the future with the naming of AAA baseball team Albuquerque Isotopes 2 years after the airing of the episode that brought the team to light Hungry Hungry Homer. I've almost purchased Isotopes jerseys on multiple occasions.
True, you were actually in that area.
I was. Robbie's answer, first thing to mind was for me was Bart in the gorilla cage and Bart has two mommies. Luckily, the people of Springfield has a better way out of it, though, or it would be all saying poor toot toot. Chris, have to go with the whole Donald Trump running for president and going down that escalator coincidence. That was too creepy. Not a fan of it actually coming to fruition, but politics don't belong here. But then he says, capital letters, creepy. Yeah, I agree. Nick, though it's clearly not come true yet, I love the prediction they made in Bart Hood about Apple making terrible cars.
That's pretty much a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I would think so. Holly, I love the obviousness of them having the tiger attack their pseudo-secret in Roy, because a wild predator like a tiger would never harm someone holding them captive and making them do tricks, right? Of course. Never. Not like a wild animal like a tiger. They'd never do that. And Brian, finally, is two words. Hamburger earmuffs. I'm glad they figured out the pickle matrix. Those things exist now.
Indeed they do, and they are delicious.
Do you eat the earmuffs, Matt?
You do once you're done using them, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. What's your answer? Hamburger earmuffs?
Yes, actually. Well, it's tough. It's between hamburger earmuffs and the Bart Hood prediction, but I think I'm going to go with hamburger earmuffs because I love anything involving hamburgers.
Well, Matt, maybe you forgot about the answer that I actually chose.
Oh, maybe.
That does involve a hamburger. It is the Good Morning Burger.
Those are everywhere. You're right.
Everywhere
I go nowadays, you can get a fried egg on a burger.
18 ounces of grizzly ground beef, soak it in rich, creamy butter, then top it off with bacon, ham, and a fried egg.
I don't think many places do the butter thing, but the ham, bacon, and the fried
egg. I'm sure some people.
I definitely had several of those.
I think some people cook their burgers in butter.
Maybe.
I think they would. As long as you cook it fast, the butter won't burn. Next week's question. What is your favorite Simpsons animal moment? Any moment involving an animal. I think we've done pets before, but now this is anything animals.
Ooh, it's going to be tough.
It will be tough. There's a lot of good ones. I think I'm expecting a lot of pray from mojos, but we'll see. You can find this question all over social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Reach out to us any of those places. follow us, like us, you know, those social media words. Next up, Matt, it is time once again for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I, we challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. See, we have a wager for this season. Season 6, the host who doesn't win has to mow the other's lawn and the wife's Sunday's best. I am down at the time of this recording before today's events, 84 to 62. I'm down 22 points with, I believe, 5 episodes to go. I'm not
It's really Eric's fault.
It is Eric's fault. I'm not mathematically eliminated, but I don't see myself digging out of that hole. It'd have to be miraculous. It would mean getting all points for every episode and Matt, like, choking, like, a dozen times. It's just statistically improbable.
And I'm not going to choke unless Robbie starts basically somehow destroying me.
No, I don't think it's... I'm actually probably going to just... I say we just... I probably just record my punishment now while I'm still in Florida and get it over with.
When it's nice and hot.
Yeah, well, it's not going to... You, at least your lawn is not very big, Matt. You have
no. It's very tiny.
It would take me maybe. How long does it take to mow your little?
About 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
If I'm being picky.
Patch of grass. But I am not changing my strategy. I'm picking questions the same way I always do. Answer questions the same way I always do. Poorly, Matt. You ready for an easy question?
I'm ready.
These are all from one episode. Pick one episode. It is The Man Who Came to Be Dinner.
Oh, I'm not sure I remember that one.
It'll be very clear. Very shortly. The Man Who Came to Be Dinner features the first non-Treehouse of Horror appearance of what characters?
Oh, I know this episode. Yes, King and Kodos.
That is correct. Yeah, exactly. It's not fair.
All right, are you ready? All right. Are you ready for your easy question?
Mm-hmm.
What war did Grandpa Simpson fight in?
Oh, that'd be the Second World War?
Indeed, WW2.
Okay, Matt. Your medium question.
Ooh.
The end credits of The Man Who Came to Be Dinner spoof what television show?
I believe it's Lost in Space.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Star Trek,
okay. That's true. I remember like the non-end credits. I remember 4 was Star Trek parody, but I didn't realize that...
Yeah, it's
end credits.
The end credits are all over basically different shots of them in different Star Trek situations. Like they're on
Homer versus the Gorn.
Yes, I believe that is one of them. What is my medium question, Matt?
All right, your medium question. When Bart is sent to prison in The Wandering Juvie, who does he break out with and who voices that character?
I think I can picture it's a female character, right?
Correct.
Right, and does she have like a pink streak in her hair?
She does.
I can picture her. I just can't think of her name. I do not know who voices her. I will guess. Let's see. Her name is Veronica, and the person who voices her is Kristen Schaal.
Ooh, I am sorry. Her name is Gina Vendetti, and she's voiced by Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay, I mean. I was just guessing. Your hard question, Matt. In The Man Who Came to Be Dinner, what is the fake ride at Disneyland that takes them to Rigel 7 named?
Okay, let me think. I have no idea.
It is called Rocket to Your Doom.
Oh, of course.
Yep, it makes sense, honestly. Okay, Matt, my hard question.
All right, this is a pretty hard one. Okay. According to Mo, what is Springfield's zip code?
Does he say that in that one where they fight over the zip code or the area code?
No, he does not.
Okay.
No. This is from a season 20 something.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. Okay. So it has to be, it's only 5 digits. So there's a finite amount of them. A possibilities, correct?
That's true.
So a wildly guessing a number gives me at least a small chance at getting it right, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. How about 54731?
Is that your final answer?
No. It is 63820.
All right, now is that your final answer?
No. 94871.
How long do you have to do this?
Until you give me kind of a verbal hint. No, yeah, they're all my final answers, Matt.
Okay. I'm sorry. It is 80085.
Okay. That is a
because
combination.
It spells boobs on a calculator.
Oh, that's funny. That's a funny thing. I have, okay, that's 1 point for both of us. It does not get me any closer, unfortunately.
Sorry.
I do have a bonus question from Joanna. It's a list question. I believe I actually have asked you this one prior, but we'll do it again. Apu's list of, who's in Apu's list of people not to accept checks from?
Or, let's see. It's Reverend Lovejoy, Homer Simpson, Homer S. Simpson, Homer J. Simpson, Homer J. Fong, I believe it is. And that's all I got. I should really memorize this list better.
We have Chief Wiggum, Reverend Lovejoy, Homer J. Simpson, Homer S. Simpson, H.J. Simpson, Homer Simpson. It's Homer with two O's. And then finally, Homer J. Fong. You got four of them, I believe.
Yeah, I know. I could do better. I wanted to say Chief Wiggum, but I for some reason I did not. But I forgot about H.J. and Homer.
Hey, Homer. Homer Simpson.
Homer. Homer.
Yeah, if you have a theme or trivia questions you'd like us to use, just send them in. And I will try and implement them when possible. Our final segment, Matt, it is time.
Is it?
It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. I don't know what to do with this one, Matt. I don't think I like it. I don't think I like it as much as you do.
I don't think you do either, because I'm trying to look at episodes that are similarly funny but don't go out of their way to have a super coherent story, and that's where I'm having a tough comparison, because most of them are either funny with a coherent story or
I had an episode in mind that was. Like, I think Bart Gets an Elephant is actually a good start.
That's where I was looking too.
But it's high. I think it doesn't have, like, the thing that's obviously the thing that stands out to me in this episode is See My Vest.
Of course.
And I'm trying to think of other episodes that are, like, have, like, that blockbuster musical number, but the other ones. The
Hood kind of has something like that with Springfield.
That is a very good comparison, but that's even lower than Bart Gets an Elephant.
Yeah.
I think it is better than Boy Scouts in the Hood. I think it's above Bart Gets an Elephant. There's Homer and Pooh also has that great song, but that Homer and Pooh has a little bit more heart to it. I don't know if you necessarily want to put it higher than that. Do you think it's better than Homer and Pooh? How about I'll ask you that question.
I want to, but I don't. Just because I really appreciate Homer and Apu, and like we said, it has that, you know, connection between the characters, and this really developed and has a very coherent storyline. Whereas this, it's kind of disjointed. A lot of kind of random things happen just so they can squash in like the whole plot of 101 Dalmatians, plausibly.
Yeah, it is not like thematically. It's kind of it doesn't really have much of like, hey, there's dogs. Let's get everything in here as quickly as we can. It has a great song. And right behind that is Stark Raving Dad, which also has a great song. But that episode has a lot more heart to it than this one, too, as well. Is it better than Stark Raving Dad?
No, definitely not.
Okay. How about Bart's Inner Child, working down the list?
That's kind of a tough one, because that one doesn't really have a whole lot of emotional content, but it
it's just Bart struggling with like, hey, everyone is like doing what they
want.
It does have Albert Brooks as Brad Goodman.
That's true.
He does a great job.
He does a fantastic job.
Yeah. And then below that is Lisa the Greek,
which is a fantastic episode in every possible way.
I think I would put this, it's definitely above Homie the Clown for me. I'll say that.
I was just about to say, it's definitely that, but at least the Greek and Bart's Inner Child, it really could be, you know, 31 or 32 or 33, any one of those works for me.
I feel like this, like they're so drastically different. Like Lisa the Greek is a very, is funny, but it is very much a character look at Homer and Lisa's relationship. And Bart's Inner Child is basically a showcase for Albert Brooks and Bart I don't know. The thing with Bart struggling, like, everyone has co-opted his kind of his identity, but that's not a big thing in it. You know, it's relatively right. minor. I feel like
it is mostly jokes about self-help and Albert Brooks.
Yeah. I would say I would put this right above Bart's Inner Child and right below Stark Raving Dad.
I can be on board with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Stark Raving Dad's and Homer and Apu are both those good episodes that have great songs in them. And I feel like this is right there with it.
Mm-hmm.
So 2001 Greyhounds, now number 31 on our list. Right below Stark Raving Dad, right above Bart's Inner Child. Number one on our list is still Cape Fear. Holding on strong. Tough competition continues. Homer's Odyssey, last place, number 116. Matt, what is our next episode?
Ooh, let me check my special lists. The PTA disbands. Oh, that's going to be a good one.
It's an episode I remember being earlier as well. It feels yeah. like... But I think that's always interesting.
It's very much a Krabappel versus Skinner, which I always enjoy.
Yes, it is. It is a supporting character kind of episode. But we'll talk about it next week. You can find this list, the best episode ever list, on our website. It's thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find this list broken down by season. A Trios of Horror segments broken out on their own separate list. The links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, and links to our Patreon. If you'd like to throw us a dollar or two, we'd really appreciate it. You can also, of course, find new episodes. They're downloadable and streaming. You can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Trio. That's MIXMASTERCEREAL. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're certain a level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That is correct. This weekend, of course, in America is the 4th of July. Also, a shout out to all of our Canadian friends today on July 1st. Happy Canada Day. So I will be attempting to blow things up in new and creative ways. So unless you're an EMT technician for when I blow my fingers off, sorry, you're not going to hold me.
Matt, you need figures.
Not for this podcast.
I'm more talking about like in life.
That's true.
Fingers are good to have.
I can't really do my job.
It's good to have fingers. Like,
that's true.
They
but,
help
you know.
In everything.
But fireworks.
You can set up fireworks without blowing off fingers.
I guess I'll have to try extra hard.
And I did want to mention, it is still July 4th around the world. It is just not Independence Day.
That is correct. Sorry.
It is still the it's a, I think that's actually a premise of like a very dumb riddle that I knew. But with that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching those episodes.